Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Marnie's Friends. This is Marnie, and I'm so excited that you could be with us this afternoon, as well as our special guest, Toni Harris. She's the Turnaround Queen, and we are going to talk today about courageous turnarounds, why and how to take yours now. So before I bring her on, I just want to let you know that all of us face situations and circumstances in our lives that seem too big, too scary, too overwhelming. And sometimes what we do is we stick our head in the sand, then we get clobbered. So Toni is here today to help us figure out how to look at what's coming our way, how to think that through. We've got a great, she's provided a great download notes for you over at marniesfriends.com. You can just grab those right now. And I just want to do a little preface for her, and then she's going to come on and share an incredible story, which was how I got to know her, was through this story. But I want her to share that herself. But before she does, I just want to let you know that Toni is a wonderful speaker. She's funny. She's energetic, dynamic, thought-provoking. She knows how to connect, engage, and interact with her audience, and she's going to do that with you today through our conversation. You're just going to feel like you already known her forever, your whole life, and I'm excited for you to get to know Toni. She has overcome a lot of life's adversities in her career, in weight loss and weight gain and divorce, the death of a family member, single parenting, failed relationships and marriage, a cancer patient. She is available to you at her website, toniharris.com. And I want to just bring her on right now. I'm sorry, it's toniharrisspeaks.com. And I want to bring her on right now. Welcome to you, Toni.
Thank you. How are you, Marnie?
Well, I am great. And you're talking to us from Houston. So so excited I'm the very, very top, straight up. If you go straight north of you, all the way to the top of the United States, I'm on that little hook up into Canada on the top of Minnesota. That's where I am. So we're about as far apart as we can be. But we're close together.
See, because you're in the most beautiful area of our country. That is such a beautiful space with the mountains and all of that. So I'm jealous.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty up here. Pretty, pretty. Okay, well, I want you to begin by helping our listeners know a little bit of the background. You are labeled the Turnaround Queen, and there's a good reason for that. And I want you to share the story that helped me know who you were and love you a little bit more. Toni, the story about you and your husband.
Okay, well, thank you again for having me on the show. And I am the Turnaround Queen. I have turned my life around in so many areas and overcome so many adversities, from career changes to divorce to one of my biggest turnarounds was losing weight. I have lost, in 1998, I was 242 pounds, and my husband and I went on a weight loss program. In fact, I'll tell you the whole story since we have an hour. I actually, and it's a compelling story, because I actually received a picture in the mail. Now, I knew that I had been gaining weight. I saw my sizes getting bigger, and I, you know, wasn't feeling as good as I know I should be. But I did not know I was gaining weight until I got this picture in the mail. To this day, I don't know who sent the picture. And if I remember correctly, there wasn't even a return address on it. So it was God that sent me that picture, because when I opened the envelope, I looked at it and I was like, who is this? And so the first thing I learned was sometimes we're in denial about where we really are. Yeah. And so I looked at that picture and I was like, this is not me. This can't be me. So that picture arrived about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and by 4 o'clock I was in a local weight loss center asking them to help me.
Wow.
Lose. And that is no joke. So the other, my subtitle to Turnaround Queen is the Queen of Drastic Steps. So I had, when I was marching in the house on that long walk from my mailbox to my door,
mm-hmm.
I walked in the house and there was a radio ad playing for the weight loss center. I had heard that ad a million times, but it was playing right then and there. And I picked up the phone and called them and they said, you can come in right now. It was 5 minutes from my house and I was there.
Wow.
Started the program the very next day and did not quit till I lost 90 pounds.
Wow.
Now, my husband, when I was about halfway through, he had high blood pressure and diabetes, and he decided to join me because I was looking good, feeling good, and he wanted to get off the meds. So he joined me, which was a feat in itself because he worked at a restaurant called Fuddruckers. Are you familiar with Fuddruckers,
yeah.
Marnie?
Yes, I am.
You know how hard it is to be on a weight loss program and work at Fuddruckers. He was the manager. But he did it. And that goes to show that when you put your mind to something, it doesn't matter what's going on around you, you can get it done in any circumstances. He worked around homemade brownies, cookies, and fresh baked rolls every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to lose 60 pounds. So together in 8 months, we lost 150 pounds.
Wow.
Life started, and Ebony Magazine did an article on us, and it was the best time in our marriage. The article came out in February 99, which was our 10th anniversary that month, and it just did not get any better than that, Marnie. And but then as it would happen, you know, there's when you lose weight, and I don't know if you've ever been on a weight loss journey, but there are people that say things like, she thinks she's all back because she lost weight. She's going to put it back on. Let's see how long she's going to keep it off. You know, those naysayers in the background really wishing bad things on you. So in June of 2000, I took another drastic step, which I'll talk about in a minute, and moved to Florida. And when I moved to Florida, what I was promised when I was recruited didn't exist, and I ended up driving 36,000 miles in 1 year in my car to be able to reach my goals and be able to keep my job. And I ended up eating my weight. I gained weight by eating in my car. So every pound that I lost, Marnie, I gained it back.
Oh, that's so painful. I feel that.
Ebony Magazine. Okay, one thing to lose the weight and gain it back. But no, after being in Ebony Magazine where millions of people have seen my success, really?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, the only consolation I say to that is I gained it back in Florida, so most of my Texas friends didn't see me. But still, on the inside, I was dying. I was humiliated. I was mortified. I was so disappointed and angry with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I could have wallowed in the circumstances and the excuses as to why I put it on, but the bottom line is I put it back on.
Right.
Well, monkey see, monkey do, my husband also put his weight back on, and he went on more medications. He ended up on 6 or 7 medications. And so if you know anything about high blood pressure and diabetes medication, it makes a man impotent. And so it really was a challenge on our marriage as well. Plus, I wasn't feeling so hot, right, because I had gained my weight back. So in 2004, after numerous attempts to get the weight off, I had gastric bypass surgery, and that was another drastic step. But it was something I had to do for me in order to get that weight off. And I've kept it off 8 years now, and I'm very, very happy that I'm healthier than I've ever been.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
So, you know, but let me tell you the flip side to the story. My husband, he would not make a change. I remember vividly when Luther Vandross had his stroke. He had a massive stroke. And I asked him, begged my husband to please do something because I could see him having a stroke. He was on that much medication. He was hiding the medicine. He was on insulin. He didn't want me to know. And it really had gotten bad to it where it was affecting our marriage. And he would not make a change, would not make a drastic change. And long story short, our 18-year marriage ended. And it was other circumstances as well, but our 18-year marriage ended. And so I was devastated, you know, that it had come to that. Well, he was more devastated, and he ended up falling into a depression, and he was in a lot of stress because of the divorce and a lot of financial problems that he had brought on. And our divorce was final in February 2008. In October 2008, he lost his job due to the economy, lost his health insurance, and 2 months later, he lost his life. He was only 48. So I tell people all the time that you, sometimes in life you have to take a drastic step because it could save your life. You know, John Wooden said, failure may not be fatal, but failure to change might be. And for my husband, it was, because he refused to accept the fact that he was getting sicker and sicker. And when I went to the house to clean it out, because my son was there and he was the one that found him, and that's a whole nother story. If you don't do it for anybody else, do it for your kids. But when I went to clean out the house, he had brownies, cakes, cookies. I mean, it was like he was not sick at all. So he really, and then he couldn't get his medicine because he didn't have health insurance. And he just went into a diabetic coma and died. It's really, really sad, but I'm still here to talk about it, and I'm still here to tell people to take a drastic step while you can. And sometimes the drastic steps are little bitty, itty-bitty steps. Like when you're on a weight loss program, you have to drink 80 ounces of water. Well, for some people, that's a drastic step. Getting up and going to exercise is a drastic step. You know, I took the ultimate drastic step and had surgery, but sometimes the little steps are big ones. But if we just take them one day at a time, it will make a drastic difference in our life.
Tony, when you're working with people, and I know you do coaching with people too, how do you help individuals identify the difference between a normal time and a time when you have to take a drastic step? What would you have some like telltale signs that this is one of those times where it's not just normal, you've got to really take big action here?
Well, like in the case of my health, you know, my health was at stake. My life was at stake. I had to take a drastic step. If your psyche, mentally and physically, is affected, then you have to do something drastic. So let's say you are on a job that makes you physically ill or mentally ill to go to every day. Then if that's your measurement to know, I got to do something drastic. Otherwise, I won't make a step at all. And so usually when there is some level of physicality, negative physical impact on a person, that's one way to tell. And people know when they're at the end of their rope. And when they feel that they just cannot do it, whatever it is, any longer, they can't stomach being who they are any longer, then it's time for a drastic step. The other thing is if you're a talker and not a doer, you know, I say all the time, don't talk about it, be about it. If you're a talker and not a doer, and sometimes you have to take a drastic step like jumping off into the pool, just jump in. If you're a person who, you know, is afraid to just stick your toe in, sometimes you have to just jump in. Now, does that mean you quit your job tomorrow and don't have a plan? No. But the first thing with taking a step is to start putting the plans together. Don't keep talking, you know, holding yourself back and sabotaging yourself. Get to work and get it done.
you know, one of the things that I've learned about myself is that every morning I start with the Lord's Prayer. You know, you have these routines in your life that are just centering, and I start with the Lord's Prayer, and then I move on to putting on the spiritual armor that it talks about in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6. But the last thing I do there almost is put on my shoes of peace, and as I'm tying on those spiritual shoes, I'm recognizing that I am at peace right then. And then as the day goes on, I recognize when I come out of peace, when the peace is no longer there, when there becomes this level of agitation somehow in my day, not all days, of course, but some days. And then there's other times where it's not just like I'm a little unpeaceful, you know, which is easy to get back into sync. Sometimes it's massive unrest. And I do, I do, at those times, I do what I say, just take a mini retreat, even if that's just to the bathroom, wherever you have to go. You have to get away so you can actually think through and process these things a little differently. Yesterday, I had massive, I needed 3-4 hours where I could just be away from the intensity of my life right now and really work through the thoughts that were stealing my peace. And is that kind of what you do with people? You help them to identify where the peace went and help them to find it again? Or what is it that, how do you help people identify what's going on in their life that's causing them this grief, whatever it is?
So I help them to, first thing I do is tell them to take a step outside of the situation.
Right, right.
So let's step outside of it. Look at it as if you were a friend looking in. And let's figure out exactly what the problem is and where the agitation's coming from and what is it that we need to do. What adjustments can we control? See, now a lot of times we are spending a lot of time trying to control things that are out of our control. You know,
right.
The serenity prayer, help me to know the difference when I can't change something. Give me the wisdom to know what I can change and help me to know the difference. And so what I help my clients do and what I do for myself is step outside of the situation and then evaluate it from a different space, if you can. And then see if you can see it differently because you have taken a moment to step outside. Sometimes, though, and I commend you for taking the moment, you know, taking a minute or taking the hour that you need to get back into centered and back into your place so that you can be able to move forward. And I think that's a very important step as well. Just stop. Stop a minute.
Right.
Don't get so bogged down with what's going on and the problems that you can't even stop a minute to think and think clearly. You know, one of the things I do is I go to my car. I spend a lot of time in my car. And me and my car are good friends because she hears that is going on. And when I actually scream, I do. When I am feeling overwhelmed and feeling like I can't fix something, I just yelp out loud. And then what I do, Marnie, is put some music on, and I start to sing and dance. And it's amazing how you can come out of a space when you are singing and dancing. But, yeah, what I tell my client is all of those things, and then let's figure out how we can tweak what you got going on so that we can get past it without going crazy.
Well, that leads us right into the next point that we wanted to talk about here is how do people actually overcome personal issues such as weight or relationship problems? What are the steps? So now let's say that we've had our little step back and we've actually looked at it. We say, oh, my goodness, I really do have a problem. Now what?
So one of the things that I encourage my clients to do is, number one, hire a coach. Seriously,
yeah.
Because the coach can help you see what you can't see. And sometimes you're unwilling to step outside of the situation. Even if you say you're trying to, most of the time you don't. So the first thing I do is tell people to hire a coach if they can afford to, and even if they can't, stretch yourself, because when you stretch yourself, you'll do what your coach asks you to do. The other thing you can do, and that's in weight, and that's in weight issues, if you can hire someone who's a trainer, statistics show that people perform much better when they have a trainer or they have a partner, even someone who is a girlfriend or a guy friend who's willing to work out with them. Knowing that person's waiting for you at the gym gets you up and gets you moving and getting you to the gym. You know, yeah. Spiritually, you got to do your spiritual stuff. You cannot, and, you know, I don't tell people what to do spiritually, but you have to be able to have a spiritual place where you go to clear your mind and know that you can go there and that he will hear you and that you can, you know, make things happen through the power that he gives us as well. You know, with the weight, I took a drastic step the first time and went to a weight loss clinic or a weight loss center. I had to pay money out of pocket, good money, to get it done. But guess what? That made me get it done. Because I knew I had to check in with those people every other day, and I knew I was going to have to pay whether I did what I was supposed to do or not. So that's like hiring a coach as well. So when you're accountable financially, it's amazing how things actually come together when you're accountable financially. I am, you know, when you're talking about relationships, I did get a divorce after 18 years, and I wish if I could go back and fix that, I would. I would do things a little bit differently. And so from my experience, I would suggest that people go to their, you know, get some counseling. The best, easiest way to get counseling is if you have a employee assistance program. That's free. It's there for you. It's confidential, and it truly is by law confidential, so people don't know what you're going through. But if you have relationship issues with your spouse or your children or even other family, you know, you want to go and do the work. And if they will go, great. If they won't go, you go. Because you can't change other people. You can only change yourself. And so perhaps you can change your perspective of the way you look at it. Maya Angelou says, if you don't like the way something is happening, change it or change your attitude about it. And so, you know, overcoming those personal problems and relationship problems, you want to get some help. That's, you know, too many times we are prideful, we don't want to get help, and then, you know, we feel ashamed of what we're going through. But the truth is, most of us are all going through something at some point, and we are there to lean on one another and help each other. And so those are some of the things I recommend for people to overcome their issues.
One thing that's coming to my mind as you're talking, Tony, is this concept of perspective, changing perspective. And as I work with people, as I even in prayer coaching and prayer counseling, or even just in business counseling or coaching or whatever, and then also, you know, you think about companies that bring in consulting firms, people that hire maybe a public relations firm to help them out in all these different ways. What's happening is that people are saying, I have a need. I'm not the best person to solve this for myself. Either I don't know how or I don't have time or I don't have the resources, whatever. And then they bring in, what I'm going to just say, an expert, or they bring in somebody who's equipped to do it, who can actually come in and help right then. And what happens is that other person, the other team that they bring in or the group that they bring in, they bring a full new perspective to the situation. So they come in and they look at the same exact data as you've been looking at this whole time, but they bring in such a different perspective, and that's really, from my perspective, that's really so much of the value. It's truly valuable to have to put your money where your mouth is and say, you know, like you did, I say, I'm going to have to pay whether I do it or not, you know, and companies that bring in consulting firms have to do this all the time, but no matter what it is that we're facing, to bring in someone who will give us a new perspective is of tremendous value, and it can be anywhere from a good friend who just has enough distance from the situation to look at it through a different from a different angle to help you see it that way, all the way up to hiring somebody to help you. But from my experience, that perspective shift
can make all the difference in the world. Do you find that people who come to you for assistance are ready to actually look at it from a different perspective?
Not always. Not always. And that's one of the questions I ask. How ready and how coachable are you, and how ready are you to make a shift? And when I explain what that means, they'll tell me, I know I was going to have to do this. But either they figure out that, yes, this is something I have to get done, or they won't get started. And I respect people who say I'm not ready. I definitely wholeheartedly respect people who are not ready to make a change. But once they get to start to work with me and they get to work, they become ready.
Yeah.
Ready
mm-hmm.
or not,
sure.
Here we come. And it's amazing what adjustments happen in their lives. I'm working with a young lady right now, and I'm really proud of her because I'm helping her to see, you know, what her where she was doing self-limitation, and she was just making all these excuses as to why she could not finish real estate school. I said, we're going to finish real estate school, and we're going to do it in the month of March. She finishes, because of the scheduling, she finished this past Tuesday and passed all of her classes. Because she put it on the calendar, it was as simple as having someone hold your feet to the fire, scheduling it, and getting it done. And I'm so proud of her. And that was hard for her because she had been stuck in the house. She had not wanted to step outside of her comfort zone, but she knew she wanted this real estate license. And I was like, are they just going to give it to you? And she was like, no, I guess I have to go get it. Yes, and now is a good time. So I do take to the now, because what are we waiting on? So
that is such a great example here's a situation where, I mean, there's all kinds of additional money to be made. There's additional, you know, relationships to be enjoyed, all kinds of stuff that you would think this would be enough motivation, but she actually just needed somebody to hold her accountable. What are some of the other reasons that people need some external? We've talked about perspective. In this situation, it was just somebody to hold her accountable. What are some of the other reasons that people actually get a coach or go get some help from somebody else?
You know, I have, my coaching business helps people personally, professionally, and financially. So we've already talked about weight management. We talked about relationships. Another thing is financial coaching, getting on the right track financially, either getting out of debt or building, starting to save, or, you know, helping to understand how to protect your family financially. And so people get coaching from me on that. And then professionally, how do they step outside their comfort zone? They've been on the job for a long time, and they want to either change careers, get some more education, or they want to start a business. How do they do that? And so what I do is help them to figure that out. And so those are some of the other areas. But I cover the life coaching because I believe that, you know, a lot of times people say, well, pick one. And because I have 12 years financial experience, they want me to be a financial coach, which I like. I love coaching people financially. But, you know, what I find is that people are one person. So if I'm struggling financially, guess what? That's affecting me personally and professionally.
Right.
So I can, and because I've been through all of it, I can help people to see where they are in all of those areas.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, we hear a lot this phrase, reinvent yourself. What exactly is the process that someone goes through if they say, you know, I've been this for, you know, the last 20 years, I'm ready for a change, but I don't even know, you know, I have some ideas, but I don't even know where to go. What would be the first thing that you'd have that person do?
I'd have them find out or tell me what is it, what floats their boat, what makes them excited, whether it's work-related or, you know, crocheting a blanket. What is it that excites you, that makes you feel good, that makes you, you know, tingle when you do it. And once they figure that out, and you'll be surprised how many people don't know what that is.
Yeah, right.
So we have to start there, because I can't help you, direct you where you want to go. The other thing is, we've been so used to in our society not being excited about what we're doing, being in a rut, falling into just doing whatever was prescribed for us, so to speak, or whatever we fell into, that we forget to how to think about and how to dream about what it is we love doing.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is like, figure out how we can make money at doing that, whether we start our own business or we go do that for somebody else. But the number one thing is, we got to know what floats our boat. And I got into this myself. I got into this trap because I was a financial advisor and I was good at it. And I am good at it because I still am. I am really good at helping people financially, giving them the coaching and the direction that they need to go. And I like it well enough. But it's like the boy that you like a lot, but you're just not in love with him. It's the same thing for it was for me with my career. And I had to really step back and evaluate, where do I want to be? I'm starting the second half of my life now, and I want to know, you know, where do I want to be with the rest of my working life? And I really came to realize that I wanted to be really passionate in helping people in all areas of their life, and speaking lights my fire. So I had to really take a step back from what I was accustomed to and comfortable doing to say, what is it I really want to be doing? And then I quit a six-figure job to do exactly what I'm doing now. And that was huge. I'm telling you, I'm the queen of drastic steps.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it talks about reinventing yourself, you really have to find out, what are you passionate about? Then let's figure out, is there something we can do with that professionally to really make you the money that you want to make? Or sometimes you get to the point, it's not even about the money. It's now about me being excited and passionate about what I'm doing.
When you were considering leaving your six-figure job to go to launch out on your own, what kind of motivation did that take? I mean, to get you to actually do that. What was the compelling drive that got you to actually leave your state of like comfort and security? Maybe an illusion, though it might have been, depending on when it was in the economy. But how did you actually get yourself to take the step that led to that big turnaround?
I'm going to tell you something. Integrity is very important to me. I'm not perfect, and I'm never going to be perfect, but I encourage people to live with integrity to yourself and to others. And when I was looking at myself, I was not happy going to work to the job that I was going to every day. And I could not continue to fake the funk, so to speak. And so I came to the point that I was almost, remember I said earlier, sometimes you get physically to the point you can't do it? Well, that's where I was, where I physically, when the phone would ring and a customer would call, which this is not me. So when a customer would call and I was agitated that they were asking a regular old everyday question, I knew it was time for change. And so it came where I needed to really, now, did I do that overnight? No. So I'm not telling anybody to quit their job overnight. But I started to talk to my husband about it, and it actually took me about a year to do it.
Right.
Because I was in a new marriage. So I did get remarried, and I was in a new marriage, and I didn't want to pull the rug out from under him right away. So, and we just talked about it. I started to put the necessary funds away. We talked about our financial plan and how we were going to continue to pay the bills. And then ultimately the day came where I did have to just flip the switch And no looking back. No looking back. It's not easy some days. And some days I think, oh, boy, every 2 weeks if I had that steady paycheck. But you know what? I'm having the time of my life building something that I know is going to help. In my case, it's going to end up helping thousands of people because I'm taking another drastic step. But it's going to end up helping thousands, if not more, people than I would have done one-on-one being a financial advisor.
Yeah, I love your story, Tony. I love your enthusiasm and your passion for life. But I love your story because it is so full of the kind of roller coasters that occur in all of our lives, but yours
mm-hmm.
were really big. Yours were really high and really low. You know, and
I haven't even got to the second half yet. I'm glad we have 30 more minutes because I'm on a roller coaster right now.
You better tell us about this then.
Well, one of the things I did to reinvent myself professionally is go back to school or go to school. So I started school at 43.
You
what
go,
was
girl.
I thinking? You mm. know what? It has been so much fun. I go to the University of Phoenix, and my goal now is to be a speaker on their commencement so I can tell my story.
Mm.
Graduating in September with, right now, I have a 3.8 GPA. Girl,
yay.
I am rocking and rolling on this school thing, and I'm going to have a bachelor's degree. But you got to remember now, let's go back a second. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 23. Then I went into the financial business. I hired on with the company and went into the financial business, which was entrepreneur-like because it was outside sales. And then I made, you know, six-figure income. I was a financial advisor and a little chocolate girl in a predominantly non-chocolate environment. You know, I didn't know anything about money. I didn't know anything about investments. And I got started doing that. So I think I'm rolling. I'm doing good. In 2008, I decided to go back into training, which with my same company, financial services company, and in 2009 they laid me off. So I find myself looking for a six-figure job with a high school diploma. Let me just say this out loud. That doesn't work.
Right.
Especially
yeah.
when they don't know my reputation, right? I was able to move up inside the company I work for, but
sure.
they knew me. When I'm a resume,
wow.
a paper, and I am out there looking for a job, you know, I'm looking for a six-figure income, it didn't happen. So what happened was, fortunately, because of God and because of his blessings and because of my work ethic, I was rehired with my company as a financial advisor again within a week.
Wow.
So on a three-month sabbatical, because I wasn't sure I wanted to go back into advising, so I was still looking for a job. And University of Phoenix somehow got my information. They called me and asked me to go to school. I said, I don't want to go to school. They're like, you're looking for a job. You need to go to school. And when I thought about it, I was like, you're right. So you know what I did? What I do all the time. I call my mother and I said, Mom, I'm going back to school. And she said, I'm not going back because I never started. I said, I'm going to school. She said, you're going to do what? I said, I'm going to get my degree, and I want you to go with me. So you see, my mom was 63, and she had never went to school. She said, are you crazy? Go to school. And again, she's making good money, and she's self-employed, and she's done. And she's like, I'll call you back. He called me back and said, what are they offering? And I told her, and they did not have what she wanted to take. But she enrolled in a different school and got her associate's degree.
Oh, wow. That's
is that
wild.
Crazy?
That
so
is,
my mama
that's really
also is taking drafts me. So she got her associate's degree last summer. Do you know how proud I am of her?
No kidding.
She didn't need to. She didn't need to. But she did it, and I am just proud of her, and I'm excited. So I'm influential. If I can tell my mama what to do.
You are. That's right.
That's
right. Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
That
so you are going to graduate this fall.
Yes.
And what is your bachelor's in? What are you getting your degree in?
It's business management with a concentration in small business and entrepreneurship. Did you know they had a degree in entrepreneurship?
Well, they have a degree in everything now. It's amazing.
I have a degree in entrepreneurship, so that's exciting.
That is so cool. That is so cool. Well, one of the things that really stands out with you, Tony, is your passion for excellence. You overproduce, you give people more than what they asked for. You guys, if you're listening and you're a speaker, you need to go to Tony Harris. It's Tony Harris. What's your what it speaks? Tony Harris.
TonyHarrisSpeaks.com.
And it's TONI. HarrisSpeaks.com. Mm-hmm. And download her media one page. It is one of the nicest I've ever seen. Really, really top notch, Tony. And you've had help. You've had to have help probably getting this put together because it's just really, really classy. Just really New York. It's awesome. Really
well,
Houston.
Thank you. I take my own advice. And I hired a branding coach, and that's how I came up with the Turnaround Queen and the colors and my look and all of that. And he helped me with the brand, and then I have a graphic artist that she is out of this world, and she does business long distance. So if anybody wants the graphic artist, I would love, and she's very reasonably priced. So she's award-winning, and she's the sweetest and gets her job done. So the other thing is I really believe in promoting people in my network and really sharing the love, because we're all out here entrepreneurs trying to make it happen. There's no room for competition in this world. There is no room for competition. If we don't collaborate, we're going to all die together. And so I definitely believe in helping. So if anybody out there is listening and you need support, please give me a call. I would love to be your coach, but that's not what I want you to call me for. Tell me where you need support. I will refer you to the person. My network is getting pretty big. It spans to Belgium and Paris now, so who knows? Thank you for the compliment on, because I did work hard on my branding, and that's very important if you're going to make a name for yourself. So.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And what's awesome is, like you said, you have a passion for integrity, and you know that when you're reading this is what you're going to get to. It's not going to be, you know, this is all hype, and then you meet you and you're not really there. You're all this. You're all this, Tony.
Thank you. Let me share my other good news, cuz we talked about it. Now, you know, I was a Blog Talk radio show host.
Yes, ma'am.
And I did my last one last Friday, and I'm going to be a on-air radio personality. Talk radio, 1230 out of Houston, and the website for that is 1230 KQUE, just like Queen. I'm like, they meant to do that.
I love it. That's perfect.
1230kque.com. It will launch June the 4th, and my show will be Speak Success with Tony Harris. And I will interview two guests a day. It will be motivation, inspiration, fun. I'm taking a page from Oprah's book and doing the book club, which is going to be books out of people from my network, not the big names. People in my network who have written books. It's going to be Tony's favorite things, which will be people out of my network, small businesses that are trying to make it happen. I want to promote them. It's going to be fun. It's going to be Monday. It's motivation in men. Tuesday is take care of yourself Tuesday, which is health and wellness. Wednesday is women in wealth Wednesday. Thursday is taking care of business Thursday, and family Fridays. So we really are going to have lots of really great conversations. And that was a huge drastic step for me. A lot of the air personalities going to be on with me have media, radio, and TV experience. But I ain't scared. I'm not scared. I am going on with them. And I'm going to hold my own. And we are going to have fun together. And I'm going to learn from them. And that's
wow.
The other secret to success, to reinventing yourself, is getting a mentor. It's somebody who has been there, done that, bumped their head, and you don't have to. And get them to mentor you. People want to help people. You just have to ask. So I'm excited about my new.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm going to have you on my show.
Oh, that'd be really fun. That'd be fun. Come visit you down in Houston. We'll be there together. Well, Tony, we have about 15 minutes left, and I want us to address the last topic on our training worksheet here. You help people figure out how to get financially free even after financial setbacks, and then what to do with their money once they get it. I just want to be honest. We have a couple businesses. We have a local restaurant. We have a local retail store, an espresso cafe, and we have this online stuff that I do from Marnie.com, the whole training conglomerate there that goes around the world. And there are times that either one or two or all three of our businesses struggle. You don't just start a business and then everything's just straight uphill from there, as far as the money goes. And you don't start a business and everything's just level, unless you're doing zero, I guess, then it would be level all the time. But once you get going in these things, they have a way of going up and down, kind of like life. There's tides in, tides out. There's ebb and flow. There's roller coaster rides and the whole works. And sometimes when somebody's facing a financial low, I like to think of it as one of those tides out or one of the valleys in that. And that, don't worry, there'll be another opportunity here. Keep looking for it. When you're working with somebody who's been through a devastating financial setback, Tony, what's one of the first things that you tell them?
Number one, they are not their money.
Okay. You are not your money.
You are not your money. In other words, nobody's self-worth is financial.
Yeah.
So money comes, money goes. I've experienced it myself. But I let them know that if they have a certain level they want to get to, that they have to make sacrifices. Do the sacrifices have to be huge all the time? No. But they have to make a conscious effort, as in anything, to make sure that they can achieve their financial goals, their financial dreams. They may have to make adjustments. If you make $25,000 a year, the likelihood that you're going to, be a millionaire staying on a $25,000 job is not likely. So you're going to have to do something different outside your comfort zone to be able to achieve your financial goal. So, again, we start evaluating who they are, what they do, what they like to do, and help them figure out what can get them to the financial goal. But I don't want people to ever measure their self-worth by their net worth, because it is not one and the same. I personally, one of the things that cost my marriage is my husband got on the flipping houses bandwagon, real estate investment. And I listen to these people all the time who talk about, flipping houses. You can be a millionaire in a day. And so he wanted to do it. And this was in 2004 when the market was doing very well. And so he quit his job, and with my support, and that meant I had to take over financially for the home. But he also needed my income and my credit to get the loans in order to finance these deals. And so me supporting my husband, I gave him that. And when it all fell apart, so did our house, our marriage, and everything that we owned was foreclosed on. Well, I was left holding the financial bag. So I either could have wallowed in that, and I was very proud of my credit. The reason he could get all the mortgages because I had a stellar credit and I had great income. And I was for a minute devastated because as a financial advisor, I thought I should know better. My net worth is my self-worth, and I really had to come to grips with that. Well, once I did, I realized that owning a home and doing all this real estate stuff, for some people it's great, but that's a small portion of the people. And so what you have to do is be a little bit smarter about how you handle your money. So I've learned some lessons along the way myself. And what I do is try to translate that to, well, I do translate that to my clients and help to see what is the biggest financial albatross around your neck. Is it your debt? Is it the fact you don't have savings? Is it the fact that you don't have retirement or you don't have life insurance? Whatever it is, let's solve it, eat an elephant one bite at a time. And so we get started that way, and I get people moving forward. And when you're an entrepreneur, it's doubly hard because you are most of the time putting the money back into your business, and you really are trying to make the business go so that you don't have to go back and get a job. And so it's a little bit even more challenging with entrepreneurs. But I can help people as long as they have the right mind condition. I can help people no matter what their circumstance. And I've helped people who made $9 an hour to start saving and investing for their future. So I it's not impossible. You just got to get started. There are programs out there for your audience who think that going to a financial advisor means you have to have a lot of money. No. You can save at $50 a month, putting $50 a month into a Roth IRA. And there are advisors out there that will take you. And if you want to talk to me, I will point you in the right direction. But you can start small. The key is to start.
Well, that's so great. I love the tip that you are not your money. And one of the things that we did earlier when we were first owning the retail store, we bought a failing retail store, and the money was just mind-bendingly awful for so long. It was several years before it started to have any wiggle room at all. And people would say to me, so how's it going? You know, do you love it? And like that. And so what I found was that I was having the money be the self-worth of the business even. So what I would do is I would make a little box in front of me, like a gift box. I would just use my hand to pantomime. I'd say, well, let's just do this here. I'm just going to take this little box here out in front of me, and I'm going to say, this is the money part of owning this business. I'm going to just set that over here for a minute. And then I'm going to tell you how much we love owning this business. Oh, my goodness, it's so much fun. But wherever you are,
you have to separate the money, because really money comes and money goes, and really it's not about the money. I did write a book based on my home ownership experience, and I wanted to, I know there are listeners out there who have lost their homes just like I did, and I want you to know that that's not the end of the world. It, you know, in America, you are tied. If you're not a homeowner, you are nothing in America, which is ridiculous. Because the truth is, people are coming to realize that there are a lot of pitfalls to home ownership, and that you are not tied. You know, you are not your home. You're not your money. And I have a level of freedom now because I don't own a home. Now I can pick up and move. If I get crazy neighbors, I can move tomorrow. And that if I take the money I would have put into taxes and homeowners association and insurance and put that in my retirement, I may be even more financially free than someone who owns a home. So, you know, there's a lot to talk about. My book is called An American Nightmare, The Pitfalls of Home Ownership. And I just
That's
kind of
a great title.
You know, I struggle with that because sometimes it's like it's not a motivational message, but it is a turnaround message. It's a turnaround message.
Right.
You need to know that if you lost your house and you're renting, you're not a second-class citizen. Or if you never owned a home, you're still okay. You're not measured by your worth. So, and I mean, it's good to have money. I've been on both sides of the fence, and I'm not going to. And we are all out here to do it and make money so we can give more. So
right.
I'm not minimizing that, but don't get caught up in the hype of what you got to do or what you got to have. You know, let's build a little at a time. And if we need to rebuild, you can rebuild, even after a financial setback.
Well, Tony, in just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give a closing thought here, but I wanted to let people know how to find you, TonyHarrisSpeaks.com, and also the phone number is 713-387-9273. That's 713-387-9273. Tony, it would be a wonderful person to have come speak at your group sometime or to contact as a coach for you, whether you need personal, professional, or financial coaching. And it's been such a great pleasure having you here on the program this afternoon. Tony, for the listener who came and they're like, I don't know, I probably should do something, but, you know, I just don't know. Give us a final thought here, Tony.
My final thought is time's going to keep moving anyway. You might as well be doing something productive. And that's why I went back to school, because I knew that 3 or 4 years were going to pass, and I would look back and say, what a waste. I did not take advantage of time. So might as well get started by take an elephant one bite at a time. Take a drastic step, one baby step at a time, but get to moving.
get to moving. Yeah,
moving.
Absolutely. I think there's a phrase I always say, and that's when we get to heaven. One of the things that's going to surprise us the most is that many of the things that were unclear to us here during our walk on earth are going to become clear, and we're going to see that it was a timing issue. That a lot of things that were perplexing, why did that have to happen, or how come that took so long, or boy, that just came out of nowhere. And timing is really huge, and it's not an accident that you're here talking to us today. If you're a listener here, it's not an accident that you're here listening to this today. There's something that you've been thinking about, that you've been playing with in your mind. Maybe I should take my head out of the sand and actually do something. And I'm just telling you, if you're thinking that, I want you to take another step. I want you to get a hold of Tony or talk to somebody who you have locally there. Find someone who will be an additional perspective for you. Let somebody help you decide, is this a time where you really need to take action? And if so, what action should you take? How should you go about it? But don't just keep waiting. Don't just keep putting it off, because like in the story of Tony's husband, sometimes putting it off can be too late then. So I encourage you, and I know, Tony, you'll just be right with me here encouraging listeners, you take action today. Do something about your thoughts.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, Marnie, thank you so much for having me on your show. If I get to your part of the world, I would love to connect with you one-on-one, and let's do some more networking to see how we can help each other in our journey, touching lives and turning them around.
Well, thank you, Tony, and thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll be back again next week. And if you haven't already done so, we've now scheduled the Bible Study Expo for May 17th of 2012. I encourage you to go check out BibleStudyExpo.com. We have a wonderful lineup of guests there for you coming to Bible study book authors from 2012's most popular women's Bible study books. So you'll want to meet them May 17th. Mark your calendar now and tell a friend. Okay, we'll see you next time. Have a great day. Bye, Tony.
Bye. Take care. Bye, everybody.
Okay. Bye-bye. Have a great day now.